Is the king dead? Peggy-Lene Bartels wondered as she stood in the small mailroom off the lobby, rubbing her thumbs across the front of the envelope. The ugly red stamp, undeliverable, splayed across the blue ink of the address, carefully penned in her own hand. For the third time, a letter to her Uncle Joseph had boomeranged back from Ghana. Another resident jostled her apologetically as he took out his little silver key and opened his mailbox, but Peggy just kept staring at the letter. Uncle Joseph was her mother's brother, and for 25 years he had been king of Otwam, a community of 7,000 souls where Peggy's family had originated hundreds of years earlier. Periodically, when she had returned to Ghana to visit her mother, the two of them would drive to Otwam to see Uncle Joseph, known there by his royal title, Nana Amua Afeni V. The king of Otwam was a tall man with heavy-lidded eyes, the lower lids revealing a great deal of white below the iris. He had been director of all the prisons in Accra, Ghana's capital. In 1983, at the age of 67, he had retired and, upon the unexpected death of his 63-year-old cousin, Nana Amua Afeni IV, was chosen the new king. Peggy remembered Uncle Joseph as a gentle, smiling man who never raised his voice, a man always ready to forgive, a man everybody liked. Sometimes Peggy wondered how such a man could be a king when kings were supposed to be tough and strong. If she had been in his position, she wasn't sure she would have been so kind. She wouldn't have cared if some people disliked her as long as she was a good king, punishing evildoers who took advantage of the weak. The last time she had seen Uncle Joseph was at her mother's funeral in 1997. He had arrived at her mother's home in Takoradi with a group of his elders, a kindness that even in her overwhelming grief, Peggy had appreciated. For years, she had regularly sent her mother money, and once her mother was in a better place where no money was needed, Peggy decided to send the money to her uncle out of respect. It was only $100 a month, but it went a long way in a Ghanaian town where many people lived on a dollar a day. And Peggy knew that even though Uncle Joseph was a king, he was not rich. His palace was falling down around his head, with a leaking roof and mildewed walls begging for spackling and fresh paint. And she worried that he might need medicine. He had been grateful for the money, and the two had kept in touch in the 11 years since her mother's passing. Earlier that year, had it been January, he had had a stroke and been hospitalized, but he had seemed to be recuperating. She had spoken to him on his cell phone now and then during his months-long stay in the hospital in Accra, and someone had picked up his mail for him at his post office box in Weneba, the city nearest to Otwam with mail service. But for the past 3 months, her letters had come bouncing back, nor had he collected her Western Union wire transfers. She had tried calling Uncle Joseph on his cell phone, but it was disconnected. How old would he be now? 90? No, 92. Truth be told, if he was dead, she probably wouldn't hear about it immediately. In Ghana, it was considered terribly disrespectful to say, "The king is dying," or "The king is dead." When the king was very ill in the hospital, people said, "The king has gone to his village for a cure." If it didn't look like the king was going to make it, his elder said, "The king is still in the village taking care of himself." When they said, "He'll be in the village a long time, he won't be coming back anytime soon," that's when you knew he had died.